and all the time, God is good. Amen and amen. Now, looking in your order of service, you should see a sermon note sheet. And when you find that, together, let us shout. What is the title of this Lord's Day message? The Samaritan woman, she got... Amen. Let's say that one more time. The Samaritan woman, she got up and out. Amen. Before we begin, let's join our hearts in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Oh, great God, we say thank you for all of your goodness unto us. Lord, we thank you for the honor of your presence in our midst this day. And oh, God, we thank you for the Samaritan woman. Lord, for the model of her life, that how she was down, how she was stuck. Lord, yet you lifted her out, as you will do that for each and all of us. So we pray this day that you would use my voice as your instrument to communicate life-changing truths, to communicate encouraging and empowering truth to your people. And Lord, to point we, your people, to you, a holy God, before whom we love and serve, and in whom we live, move, and have our being. Be glorified in and through our lives is our prayer, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus that all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen, amen. Praise God, saints. The Samaritan woman, she got up and out. A few years ago, there was a sitcom that we enjoyed growing up, and it was called Different Strokes. How many remember Different Strokes? Amen. It was two African-American boys. They were living as adopted brothers in an upper-class white family, and invariably, there would come a time in every episode when the younger of the two, Arnold, would say, "What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about, Willis?" And I say that a lot. When somebody is saying something that I don't understand what they're saying, they'll say, "What you talking about, Willis?" Amen. It was so funny, and we would laugh at that. And although John's gospel is not without a number of funny twists, the author is not aiming, saints, to make us laugh, but to make us think. So nearly at every turn, John wants his readers to think outside of the box, all right? For Jesus does not fit into all of our preconceived notions, amen. So just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, Jesus does not fit. Jesus does not fit. He doesn't fit into all of our preconceived notions." So the question echoes on. "What you talking about, Jesus? What you talking about, Jesus?" Well, the woman at the well is completely surprised that anyone, let alone a Jewish stranger, is speaking to her. She came there, scripture tells us, at high noon, so as to avoid the snares and the snubs of her neighbors. And I sense that she almost dropped her water jar, which perhaps looks something like this jar here, when this gentleman suddenly and unexpectedly addressed her. For you see, saints, Jews and Samaritans hardly acknowledged each other, let alone strike up a conversation. And for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan woman, well, that was totally out of the ordinary. And probably, saints, it had been so long since someone had said a kind word to her. But just a cup of water was all that Jesus asked for. And he had such a polite and pleasant presence. So I want us to notice how Jesus uses her question about his breaking of social, racial, and class taboos to engage her in a conversation about living water. You see, Jacob's well, saints, has water for the parched lips. Whereas Jesus is claiming here that he has water for the parched soul, hallelujah, that will quench her thirst forever. And her response is, "I would surely like to have some of that living water. Give me some of it, please, she says, so I don't have to keep bringing this jar, coming to this well again and again. Well, yes, saints, there is a misunderstanding, but Jesus uses it not to berate her lack of understanding and insight, but to direct their conversation into a deeper soul-searching level. But before going forward, there is one protocol that Jesus will not ignore, and that is of her marital status. This woman, and let's just call her the Elizabeth Taylor of the New Testament. Amen. I'm not exactly sure how many husbands Elizabeth Taylor had. It was 6, 7, 8, something like that. 8 husbands. All right. I had lost count of them. Amen. But I want us to keep in mind that at this time and place, women had no right to divorce, even an abusive and unfaithful husband. So she hadn't been the one who ended those marriages. She had been rejected 5 times. All right, historians tell us that a husband could snap his fingers 3 times and say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and you were divorced. And he could do that even if you had burnt the dinner and he didn't like that. He could say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Now, for a cook like me, that's kind of a scary thought, amen? All right, so maybe this woman, the Elizabeth Taylor of the New Testament, maybe she was a very bad cook. All right, who knows? But the first time or two, she probably thought, I'll never get involved with anyone like that guy again. But for whatever reason, saints, she kept making the same mistake over and over and over again until she finally lost all trust in promises and commitment. She was with the 6th man, and she didn't even bother with marriage. But before we can come down so hard on her, let's take some time, saints, and acknowledge that all of us can fall into the trap of looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen and amen. We try to quench our spiritual thirst with plain old well water. We try to use relationships. We try to use status. We try to use money or our careers, or we turn to alcohol or drugs, or we try to satisfy our thirst with entertainment or with accumulation of lots and lots of stuff. And we make the same mistakes over and over and over and over. We get left high and dry. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody knows somebody like that. Amen. And maybe, hallelujah, you yourself are like that today. Well, saints, Jesus offers the only solution for our parched lives. Hallelujah. Only Jesus. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, only Jesus. Only Jesus offers the solution for our parched lives. And saints, Jesus has offered you and me the same living water that he offered that woman at the well. You see, the woman at the well didn't want to face up to her past. For reasons unexplained, there have been multiple husbands, and Jesus tells her that her present husband is not her husband. So the woman at the well then challenges Jesus to prove it. And Jesus answers, I know everything about you. Hallelujah! Jesus knows everything about us, saints. Jesus even knows the number of hairs on our heads. Jesus says to her, I know that you're an outcast in your town. He says, I know that you've been hurt over and over again. He says, I know you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. And I know you've been left high and dry 5 times. Ooh, ouch, ouch. Jesus was getting way too close. So she changed the subject. Amen. That's what we do a lot of times when it's getting too close to home. We change the subject. So she says, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. She said that in verses 19 and 20. So she brought up a religious controversy as a smokescreen. So saints, I want to warn us, don't let people suck you into religious controversies, which are nothing but smokescreens. For example, It was Christmas season, and I was witnessing at the mall as I was shopping, sharing about Jesus and the light. And this one man says to me, he was a Jehovah's Witness. He says, well, I don't know about that Jesus loving us. I want you to tell me why you Christians worship and celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th. Don't you know Jesus wasn't really born on December 25th? I said, yes, I know that. He was born in the springtime, actually. I said, but that is the day that has been chosen to celebrate his coming. And I want you to know he did come. And I want you to know that I invited him into my life. And he came in and changed me from the inside out. And he can do the same for you. You get back onto the subject at hand, which is Jesus Christ. Don't let people have you arguing and losing your mind. Just get back to Jesus. Amen. Don't let them deter you. Jesus wasn't going to be sidetracked in this conversation. So he used what she brought up as an opportunity to give her a taste of his living water. He says to her, believe me, woman, a time is coming when worship will have nothing to do with where you are. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For they are kind of worshipers that Jesus is seeking. God is spirit, and God's worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So then she responds to Jesus and says, well, where can I worship God? It's not where, it's who. Hallelujah. Notice that last sentence. Notice here, Jesus says, God is spirit. God's worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Saints, true worship happens when the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit. That's when true worship happens. Amen. Say that with me, saints. True worship happens when the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit. Amen. So that means true worship can happen in the church. Hallelujah. That means true worship can happen in the car. That means true worship can happen in the kitchen. True worship can happen in the living room. True worship can happen in the bedroom. Hallelujah. True worship can happen in the grocery store. Hallelujah. True worship can happen at work. Excuse me, y'all. Just excuse me 1 minute. Just let me have a time for a praise break. Amen. True worship can happen in prison. Hallelujah. True worship happens because true worship happens within our hearts. That's where true worship happens. The woman at the well felt her wall of defense crumbling in the face of compassion and truth. But it took a lifetime of pain, a lifetime of rejection for her to build those walls around herself. So she made one last effort to hold herself back from trusting in this remarkable Jewish man. She says in verse 25, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then in verse 26, Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, basically, she was saying, what you talking about, Jesus? Amen. And she says, just wait a minute. The Messiah is going to come. He says, I who speak to you am he. Oh, saints, the woman at the well, that was the moment when her last defenses just crumbled down. How could she but help be drawn in? She was hearing the voice of God. She was looking into the eyes filled with God's love. So hope sprang up in her heart that she thought was long dead in there. Praise God. And scripture says she left her water pot behind and she went running into the town. Hallelujah. Scripture lets us know she was the first evangelist. She's the first evangelist recorded in the New Testament. Amen. And when she came back, she brought a whole crowd of people with her. Amen. So that's what Jesus sends us out, and we're to tell and bring them on back with us. Bring them to Jesus. Amen. And scripture says Jesus stayed there in Sychar for 2 more days, offering living water to anyone and everyone who believed. Well, saints, like the Samaritan woman at the well, occasionally, everybody say occasionally, occasionally we all find ourselves in the pits. We all find ourselves in the pits of discouragement, in the pits of depression, in the pit of disappointment. And a general sense of hopelessness and despair can overwhelm us when we find ourselves in the pit of helpless feelings. And when we're in the pits of life, we need the help of God, saints, to deliver us from emotional and relational and mental and financial and social low predicaments in our lives. Sometimes the Lord comes right in and directly delivers us, but other times God uses certain people to help lift us up, amen, and out. When we were young, there was like 3 channels on the TV that we could watch. And so we watched a lot of Tarzan movies, all right? And there was a lot of quicksand, amen? There was a lot of quicksand. People was always getting their 1 foot caught, and then before you know it, both feet, and they're going down, and this quicksand is to their neck, and somebody grab them by the hair and pull them out. And it used to be so scary. Hurry up, because they're sinking, because the quicksand would be just taking them under. Well, saints, like the Samaritan woman, praise God, the Holy Spirit is here today, saints. Oh, here today to help get us out of that quicksand, out of the mud and miry clay that we get ourselves into. Now, I know there's some testimonies here today that you were in the mud and mire, and the Lord picked you up and brought you out. Hallelujah. You was going through some things. Hallelujah. And you can say, the Lord got me out of that mess. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, yeah, the Lord got me out of that mess. The Lord got me out of that mess. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord does, you see. Gets us out of the mess we get ourselves into. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I want you all to read that together with me, please. Beginning with verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in him. Amen and amen. Well, saints, looking at our sermon note sheet here, what does God do for us when we have found ourselves in the muck and mire? What's the first thing God does for us? Brings us up. Hallelujah. Everybody shout that. Brings us up. God brings us up. The first thing God does is to bring us up. And this is a powerful change, saints. So no matter how low you are, no matter how worthless you are feeling, praise God, God has the wonderful ability to bring us up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Now, what is the second thing God does for us? God is the lifter of my head. Amen. We sing that psalm passage, amen, because it is God who lifts our heads when our heads are too heavy to lift. I had a tendency of walking with my head down a lot, and my dad would always say, lift up your head, hold your head up high. I said, I'm trying to. I can't seem to lift it up, amen. But I have learned to allow the Lord to lift my head up, praise God. So no matter how down I'm feeling, no matter how discouraged I am, saints, God I know is bringing me up, amen. So thirdly, what does God do? Oh, isn't that exciting? God always brings us not just where we were, but to new levels in our lives. Amen. We used to sing a song, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that I adore. Because every day with Jesus, it's a new level. It's sweeter than the day before. Hallelujah. What else does God do for us, saints? God always gives us higher goals. Amen. Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. God gives us higher goals for our lives, for our mission and ministry for Jesus Christ. And then what does God do? Fifthly, God brings us out. Amen. And the two examples we have here is muck and mire and a rock. Amen. Or a pit and miry clay. Amen. Pleasant to be in? Not at all. But in this life, people get stuck. Touch your neighbor and say, in life, people get stuck, neighbor. Amen. People get stuck. We get ourselves into things that we cannot get out of. That's why God's wonderful power of change is so important. Jesus gets us unstuck. So high five your neighbor and says, Jesus gets us unstuck. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then sixthly, what does God do for us? Jesus gets people moving again toward goals and dreams in their lives. Hallelujah. Friends, Satan is a liar. Satan is our enemy, saints. And Satan steals people's hopes. He steals people's dreams. He steals people's visions for their lives. But praise God, God comes in with the power of faithfulness and the power of salvation. Amen. And can turn our lives around. David said in Psalm 40, I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. I testify to your goodness and miraculous working power in my life. Praise your name that Jesus gets people moving again towards goals and dreams in our lives. So friend, today, are you like the woman at the well? Have you made wrong choices over and over again? Have you been left high and dry? Do you have a past that's full of rejection and pain? Well, saints, before Jesus, the Samaritan woman was stuck herself. She was stuck in the mud. Have you ever been stuck in the mud? Well, most of us got stories, amen, where we've been stuck in the mud. I've been stuck in the mud in the car over in some kind of ditch somewhere. Can't hardly get out, amen. And I've been where there was no help around. It looked like the more I pushed on the accelerator, the deeper I was getting into the hole, amen. When we feel stuck, we feel helpless, amen. Amen. Now, those who get out of the mud, we got to go through a whole lot of changes to get out of there, amen. Sometimes it's unbelievable how many changes, but people who get stuck in the mud got to go through some changes to get out. So when our automobiles get stuck, we need some help to get out. Amen. All right, so we're no different. When we get stuck in the mud of circumstances in our lives, we need a little help too. Amen. Because life's challenges often prove overwhelming sometimes, even for the best of us saints. Sometimes we take chances thinking that we can jump over some kind of puddle and come to find out it was bigger than we thought it was, and it was deeper than we thought it was, and the ground was softer than we thought it was, and there we find ourselves stuck in the mud. Amen. That we need a little help. And saints, as Christians, we are not immune from getting down. We're not immune from getting stuck in the mud of life's concerns. But praise God, hallelujah. However, we have access to a towing service that is 24/7, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Seven days, 24 hours a day. He said, call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things. So saints, when we're down, when we're stuck in the mud, just call on Jesus. Just call his name, because scripture tells us he's a very present help in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, saints, how do we get out of the mud? Well, getting out of the mud is more difficult than getting in the mud. It's kind of easy to get in, but it's hard to get out. And we can talk about the Samaritan woman, but it is hard to get out. Because if you've been walking in the mud, you find that you can just get deeper and deeper. Your car can get, the tires can just keep going down and down and down. You're trying to pull yourself out, but you can push that accelerator all you want, but you keep going down and down. So saints, what is needed is someone or something that is outside of the muddy pit. Someone who is not in that pit with you, but outside, who could give you a hand help you up and out of that miry pit. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. There is someone who is outside of the mud and slime who can pick us up and lift our feet on solid ground. Now, when we get out of the mud, the whole world knows that we've been in the mud because we got mud all over our clothes. There's mud. We're leaving a track of mud. Everybody knows that we've been in the mud. And you know, there's mud on our tires. If you've been trying to get out, you've done all that spinning, your car's got a lot of mud on it. And you need to get to the car wash. You need to take your clothes and put them in the washing machine. Amen. You know, we talked about this Samaritan woman, how the people used to talk about her, you know, like, oh, look at all that mud all over her because of the situation that she was in. But saints, I heard about a songwriter who asked the question, what can take away and wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it goes on to say, oh, precious, precious, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. David said in our Old Testament text for today, he said, he brought me up and also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock. He put a new song in my mouth. The new song that we sing, saints, is a song of testimony. How many have a song of testimony today? If the Lord has done anything for you, you ought to have a song of testimony. Amen. Praise God. And there's a song that has been a song of testimony for me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, never to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Hallelujah. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Now, saints, that's a wonderful song that has lifted me out of despair. I picked up a copy of this last week's Jet magazine, and Whitney Houston is saying that is her theme song now. That is her song about the Lord, that love has lifted her. She was sinking deep in sin, she says, and very stained within, never to rise no more. But she says this is her testimony, and I praise God for that, that she is giving God the praise, and that the Lord has lifted Whitney up and turned her around, and that God's got good, you know, as she continues to look to the Lord Jesus. Praise your name. And God can do that for all of us, saints. It's a wonderful thing that God can lift us up, amen, that love, praise God. Lift us out of despair. Lift us out of disappointment. Lift us out of discouragement, out of bad relationships. Hallelujah. And it's Jesus Christ, saints. Jesus is the one who lifts us up. Jesus is the one that lifts us from that sadness, lifts us from hopelessness, and lifts us from weakness. And when it seems that nothing else will help you, my friend, remember to just sing the song. Christ lifted me. Christ lifted me when nothing else could help. Christ lifted me. Just sing. And before you know it, when you say, yes, you're loved, so you'll go from walking like this to, Christ lifted me. Christ lifted me. All right. There will be a change. Go ahead and sing. Give the praises to the God. Because when those praises go up, the blessings come down, and God is able to lift us up and plant our feet on solid rock. Hallelujah. Allow the Lord, saints, to use your present disappointment, whatever it is, whatever you're going through right now, your present experience, allow the Lord to use it to demonstrate God's power, God's healing, amen, God's purposes in your life. Allow God. And don't think that you have to be delivered instantly, because guess what? Most times we are delivered instantly, amen. We have to go through something, saints, and God is using what we're going through to display God's might and power, hallelujah. Oh, to be able to give people a perspective of who God is And while we're going through, we are gaining better perspective. We're gaining wisdom. We're gaining knowledge, hallelujah. We're gaining Holy Ghost maturity. We're gaining power in our lives, amen. As a result of our pit experience, we grow, amen. We change, amen, to new levels. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So today, if you feel that your life is in a rut, if you feel like you've been trapped by anything that you can't seem to get yourself out of, I want you to know today that God is the God of wonderful change. Amen. God is the one who will release you. God is the one who will set you free. Because Scripture says, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, God will come into your life with power to change whatever needs to be changed. And sometimes it's us that needs the change. Hallelujah. Praise your name. You know, Lord, and we trust you. But I want us to all be like this Samaritan woman. Oh, she met a man who holds the title to the mountains and to the valleys, holds the titles to the seas and the oceans, the rivers. And Scripture says, the earth is the Lord's, amen, and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us she met a man. She went around saying, I met a man. I met a man. Hallelujah. She met a man, saints, who was not only willing to respect her, but was willing to die for her. Praise God. That's what John tells us. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no one than this, than that one would lay down his or her life for his or her friends. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She went around saying, I met a man, I met a man, I met a man who changed me. She met a man who changed the way she even looked at herself. How many know sometimes we need that? Lord, help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Not the way we see ourselves, but the way you see us, Lord. And she ran through the city. Come see a man. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. He told me all about myself. Oh, hallelujah. And today I know there's a lot of somebodies who's met that man. Hallelujah. There is somebody here today who can testify. You can testify that I found Jesus. I met him, and praise God, I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Hallelujah. There is somebody here today who can testify, I tried Jesus, and he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right with me. Amen. Now, somebody here today, like the woman at the well, has decided to go forth and tell the world, come see a man. Come see a man who is a bridge over troubled waters. Come see a man who is a lawyer in the courtroom. Come see a man who is a doctor in the sick room. Come see a man who picked up an old rugged cross and who went to Calvary and was crucified for my iniquity. Come see a man who died for my sins. Come see a man who rose up on that Sunday morning, hallelujah, that I might have life both now and for all of eternity. For truly living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Justified. Justified means just as if I've never sinned. Justified. He justified me and freed me forever. Hallelujah. And one day, he's coming back. And what a glorious, glorious day that shall be. Hallelujah. Oh, saints, in response to the preached word of God this day, I want us to, if we would, rise to our feet and declare that love, it's love that has lifted me. I was in despair. I was in that pit. I was lost. Love lifted me. Christ lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. To the Lord, here we go. Love lifted me. Love even me when nothing. praise your name, Lord Jesus. Love.